welcome everybody to Eddie Matters. This is your weekly commentary from a white racialist viewpoint. And my name is James Hawthorne, and my co-host is Lee Gardner. Good evening, Lee.
How you doing, James?
Doing great. After that Halloween special that we did, which we're putting together for everybody, that's what we would call the warts and all show on Halloween. Today's topic I'm going to discuss is about the riots in France, and the story that sparked my attention was an article about the so-called far-right leader in France, which is Jean-Marie Le Pen. He wouldn't call himself a far-right leader, he would call himself a nationalist leader. He's kept a pretty low profile while we've had 2 weeks of utter chaos and riots in France, all over the country, and the riots now have spread to Denmark and other white Aryan countries. Proof once again of the wonderful nature of diversity into the Aryan world. Yeah. The media tells us that we all should come together and have a group hug with this, yeah, with this diversity nonsense. The Associated Press quotes Le Pen and described the violence as just the start of the conflicts, and the main reason is what Le Pen says and what we all say here on Area Matters. It's massive immigration from countries of the third world that is not just threatening France, but it's threatening the whole continent. It's not threatening the whole continent of Europe. It's also threatening Australia. It's also threatening New Zealand. It's also threatening the continental United States of America. We can't express more strongly the fact on our show to new listeners who have come across our show and may have been a little bit shocked at what they've saw with the symbolism here. But we're coming from this from a National Socialist perspective, and the multiracial society in Aryan lands, and we call Aryan lands basically Australia, New Zealand, United States, and all white countries in Europe, Aryan land, white space. You'll hear me through all our Area Matters shows calling these things white space. It's white space. We're being pushed out of our space. But France has just been the recent spark of the wonderful diverse nature of multiracialism, and it's been an absolute nightmare for 2 weeks. Riots, cars being set on fire. The police and the army in France have kept a low profile and just let these savages just run riot for 2 weeks. They haven't done nothing. I saw a program on the TV where the French government were sitting there, and you looked at them and they looked like they didn't have a clue what to do. The country's on fire and they're sitting there going, the country's on fire, what do we do? Yeah. Le Pen's come forward now, he's kept a pretty low profile on this, but he's come forward now and saying that the French people, i.e. the white Aryan people of France, have to stand up. He has an organisation which can attract the white Aryan people to flock to join, to help, to rid France of the lower forms of life that seem to be prevalent in that country and all Aryan countries. He says, what does it mean to be French? Does it mean to be French if you have an identity card? That means you're French? I don't think so. Us Aryans don't think just because that person has a French identity card that they're French, or right, that they have a British identity card that they're British, or an American identity card, driver's license or whatever they use in the United States, that the Mexicans.
Right.
Well, what's your view on this anyway?
Just because a Mexican comes across the border and you pass over this line, and that entitles you to be a member of the great American nation. That's crazy. And that doesn't make any sense. Just like Le Pen is saying, these allegedly French citizens, French people, they are not. Mm-hmm. And they can never be.
An identity card doth not make you a Frenchman.
No.
Culture makes you a Frenchman.
Absolutely not. And you know, this whole thing with these riots over there, you're absolutely right. I mean, I saw the same thing that you did where those guys look like they didn't know what to do, those ministers. And then the next thing I know, I hear on the television that they're saying that how are they going to solve the problem with the riots? calling the military. Yeah. So they got to impose this military, you know, martial law to fight against these non-whites who are rioting. Because guess what? They are turning more and more into America. Europe is becoming more and more like us. Did they have riots 20, 30 years ago?
In the 1950s, no. Before mass immigration came to Aryan nations, to the Aryan Falkland.
Yeah.
1950, I didn't see any immigration riots, any non-white riots, any black riots, any niggers on the streets burning our cities. No. I did not see that. I wasn't born in 1950. That's probably the reason why.
That's probably the reason.
But you can look through all the history books at that time period. It was all the white countries were white countries.
They were white countries. And the only people that had that problem was us, right? America had it first, where all of the Nogs and the blacks, led by the communist Jewish revolutionaries in the 60s, began burning all these cities. You can list the name of cities, you know, as long as your arm, that were burned up by the blacks rioting, right? Los Angeles, Phoenix, Detroit, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., all these cities were up in flames. The same is going on in France. Of course, again, we already had a big population of those Negroes here, and then the Jewish communists sparked the flames. The sad thing about this is those people in the French Parliament that are sitting around, you know, wondering what are we going to do now, they can't do anything because ideologically their hands are tied, right? And the reasons their hands are tied is it's been going downhill ever since the end of World War II. If FDR, Britain, and even France, which is not necessarily true because under Pétain they agreed with National Socialism and implemented a lot of it, but if all these countries, especially, you know, America and Great Britain, allied themselves with communism, what that means is, and exactly what they said is, that they are for democracy, equality, and no nations, basically internationalism.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is what allegedly that whole war was fought for and won, then how could they ever go back on promoting that ideology, right? They can't, because then they'd be admitting they were wrong, which of course they were wrong.
All these system politicians in all our Aryan countries have basically, through the die, they've basically said that multiculturalism and multiracialism can work. They've put their cards on the table and said, we believe that white people can fully integrate with people from non-white nations and be a polyglot society, and everyone will get along. That's what they have pumped at us for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the chickens are coming to home roost right now, because where these people in France, where the riot started, was like a place where these North Africans settled. When they come in, they don't disperse into greater France to come together with white French people and, you know, absorb themselves into the French culture.
Assimilate
and absorb themselves into this French culture. No, they stay off in their little corner amongst their own African brethren and stay there.
Yeah.
What will happen right now, though, with the French government, just like what happened in Katrina in the United States, is that once the spooks have calmed down and stopped the riots and the killing and the raping and the murdering of our people, then these governments sort of start sending money and pumping social services and everything into these areas to placate them. That's all they're doing, is placating the,
right.
They're putting a band-aid over the problem. That's all they're doing.
That's all it is. It's a band-aid. I call that
a racial band-aid.
That's exactly what it is, and it does not solve anything. It's like you're treating the symptom for your disease. You're just treating the symptoms. Okay, well, you have coughs and sneezes. Oh, well, let's take care of that, and let's not address the real disease that you have. So you're right. After it tones down, they start going back to let's pretend that we can all get along again. Though they should have just realized we can't all get along. They go back to pretending again, and like you said, giving them all these handouts.
Yeah, they give them all handouts. It's unbelievable. Le Pen says French nationality should be given only to those who ask for it and who are worthy of it, whatever that statement means.
Yeah.
The only people who are worthy of French citizenship, as far as this program is concerned, is white Aryan French people. All the rest of them should be put on a plane, train, or a boat and shipped back to North Africa. Le Pen goes on to say, let me digress a bit here, that they're getting massive inquiries from people, and they don't have enough people at the national headquarters of the Front National to handle all the inquiries. Thousands are coming in, tens of thousands are coming in. Everyone's saying Le Pen was right. The facts have been shown now that he was right. To quote Le Pen, we are receiving thousands of new members, tens of thousands of emails. All our offices are submerged. We don't know how to respond because we don't have the staff. We reply to the wave of people who 95% of them salute and approve our positions. That's great. That's what you need in our Aryan countries. You need to have a focal point for white Aryan people to rally around. We need that point. Luckily in Europe, they've figured that out. They have these organizations and these political parties where when the doo-doo hits the fan and there's mass riotings and white Aryan people know who to go to, who to support, who to join. Unfortunately, in the United States at the moment, we're still in that murky area of quite a number of organizations that need to swallow their differences, come together to unify into one large mass organization. Tactics, we can discuss tactics as we go along, but in the United States, time is coming where we need a white front, where when there's more rioting, which is going to happen in the United States, white people know where to go. At the moment, they don't know where to go.
And not only that, the white front idea is a good idea because of the possibility that the internet will be taken down. Uh-huh. Where all the neo-Nazi so-called hate sites, so-called...
Are gone?
Are outlawed.
Like ours?
Yeah, because just like ours will be, because they are domestic terrorists, and they're spreading hate, and everybody knows hate is what caused September 11th, is what causes terrorism, which of course is total nonsense.
Well, hang on, I thought September 11th was the reason why they hated our freedom.
Yeah, they hated our freedoms.
That's what President George Bush said.
And of course, he knows everything.
Your story, Lee.
Okay, my story I got off of National Vanguard, and if people have been paying attention to the news, at least in the white racist news, they will find out that, or they will discover that the revisionists are a very big topic right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Ernst Zindel. His trial has started in Germany. And so one of these pieces on here was by a well-known revisionist named Robert Faurisson, who was a Frenchman.
I didn't know he spoke French.
He has this interview. There's this interview posted online on National Vanguard that he did with Tehran Times,
mm-hmm.
right, the Iranian newspaper. And some of the quotes that he gives are absolutely excellent, and I'd like to share some of that with you. Now, probably the main reason that sparked this interview with Professor Faurisson is that the UN has passed an International Holocaust Day, okay, which is completely insane, and they designated January 27th as an International Day of Commemoration for the Jewish and allegedly other victims of the Holocaust, but the Jews claim they were the main victims of the Holocaust. So really, the whole world, 6 billion people, every year, have to commemorate this small, very, very small percentage of the world's population. Alleged, totally untrue, of course, persecution by the Germans.
Of this Holocaust that never happened, by the way.
Yeah. Mm. And but some of the quotes that he has in here, Faurisson has, he's absolutely right. One thing he says is Iranians, Muslims, always had this question in their mind, you know, why should they be concerned about the Holocaust? That seemed to them to be a matter between Europeans and Westerners, or basically between Jews and Christians. It had nothing to do with Muslims. I mean, they weren't involved in this, you know, so-called genocide of the Jews, right? And Forasan says, okay, I'm going to tell you exactly why. You need to, he says, open your eyes. What makes for the strength of the Jewish state is the political support rooted in supposedly ethical grounds that it enjoys in the entire Western world, where people feel sorry for the Jews because they believe that during the Second World War, the Germans sought to exterminate them physically, in particular in the alleged gas chambers. Right? So, again, that is such an important point that has to be emphasized. That is another one of these stupid reasons or traps where white people, white Americans especially, are trapped by their ideology and beliefs, right? Which is the first thing I mentioned earlier was the ideology and belief that, okay, we fought this war against the Germans because they were racist and they were anti-Semitic, and we're fighting for all equality, which is, of course, the communist idea.
They were evil and naughty, too.
They were evil and naughty, too. We're fighting for total equality. And so if we ever say that we are not for that, then we are going against the whole reason we fought that war. That's part of it. The second part is, of course, the Holocaust story, which what that does is that substantiates for some people the reason that we are fighting the war, because see how bad the Germans were? See how bad Hitler was? Because this is what they were doing. So it's all justified. And, by the way, those poor persecuted Jews, right? They've been persecuted for thousands of years. They were scapegoated by the Germans as allegedly causing some problems, but, you know, they were just persecuted for their religion, and they were totally innocent and blameless and all that. So the Holocaust story, with that guilt, again, it just, like Professor Forson says, if you feel sorry for the Jews and you never want them to be persecuted, then when anybody ever says anything bad about the Jews, including the Iranians, the Arabs, the Muslims, it doesn't matter, you've got to come to their defense. You have to. You feel this because as white people, we are naturally always feeling for what is, or thinking about what is fair and what is unfair and what is just and what is unjust. And we always have this urge to do the right thing, to be just, to be fair. And how could you not be fair if you've believed this big lie? And that's all it is a big lie, that the Jews were exterminated and the Jews are eternally persecuted and they never did anything wrong. And guess what? You better support them, because anybody else who has any bad feelings, negative feelings about them and says so, like the Iranians or whoever, they're bad guys, and they're going to do the Holocaust all over again.
I remember before the United States and Great Britain marched into Iraq in that totally unjustified invasion of a sovereign nation pushed by the Jewish neocons of Fife and Wormser and Crystal and the rest of them, the Jews in Washington. We know who you are, and everyone knows who you are. Forced the greatest nation on this planet, United States, and its little puppy, Great Britain, to march into Iraq. I was reading that they even used the Holocaust terminology for one of the main reasons to go after Iraq, because they, for some strange reason, said that some German country was helping Saddam to build gas chambers. And the gas chambers were there to get rid of the Jews that were in Iraq.
Yeah, I remember that. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, yeah, right? They're the ones that put out that propaganda that the Iraqis were building gas chambers.
But the Germans were in Iraq to help the Iraqis build gas chambers.
Yeah.
You know, get them all up and running so as they can slowly farm all these Jews into there and gas them and put them on the hills and all this absolute nonsense. It happened in the First Gulf War too, about, this was at a high level, I can't remember her name. She was on television, and this is on the 1991, the First Gulf War against Kuwait, and she turned round on the television and said that the Iraqis are taking babies out the incubators, just like the Germans used to do. In they didn't have incubators at that time in 1930s and 40s in Germany, but she was using the same analogy of the barbarity of the barbarous Iraqis taking these babies out of the incubators in Kuwait and killing them. And same thing with the Germans, and on both occasions, with the German one and with the Iraqi one, lies, absolute lies.
All they wanted to do was demonize their enemies.
Yeah, that's what the Jews do. Yep. Jews, the Jews in this world are the great demonizers of Aryan people. Aryan people have got to wake up and look behind the cloak. Dr. Goebbels, one of his great speeches, was called Communism with the Mask Off. That's what it was called.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it's one of the great things. It's true. You don't have to dig too far to find Jews lurking in the background.
No.
You know, I mean, really, and right now in our Aryan countries, it's people there front and center. They're in control. If there was a Jewish conspiracy, the Jewish conspiracy is over. It's all now front and center, my friends,
right,
in all our countries. Lord Levy is putting his little two pennies worth into Tony Blair's ear. You can Google Lord Levy. What a piece of work he is. And then we look over in the United States with the Jewish neocons. Let's not call them neocons. Let's call them what they are.
Jews
who have a stranglehold over the United States government.
That's right, and the media.
And
which,
the media,
which
too.
Backs up their story, their version, their tale.
Why do they have so much power? Ask yourselves, why does 2%+ of the population in the United States of America have the power they have?
Right, if we said that, look, I don't know what you'd call them, I guess the Church of Satan or something, was the same percentage of Jews, right, as a religion. Of course, the Jews aren't a religion. But if we said that this Church of Satan is 2%,
even the
leaders, but they control all of the media, would everybody start going, well, oh, that's okay, you know, that's just a coincidence, you know? They wouldn't. They'd say, wait a minute, they're in control of the media. Something's wrong there, because in an average, you know, statistical norm, the percentages should be reflected in the media too, that only 2% of the controllers and the owners and all that stuff of the media should be part of the Jewish.
The great thing at the moment is that the internet is the wild west of cyberspace. It's the wild west at the moment. The Jews are putting pressure on our hack politicians to control the internet,
yep,
to have us so-called haters, quote unquote, kicked off the internet. Go to the reason why. It's the Wild West. The truth is out there, to quote a famous program. The truth is out there. Go on the internet. You can Google all this stuff. Look around at ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox News in the United States, Granada Television, all the TV stations in the United Kingdom, France, Germany. Just look. Go to Aryan countries, Australia, New Zealand, and look deep, and you'll find a Jew, or a combination of Jews, or a cackle of Jews, or a flock of Jews. They are there, people, and we need to remove them from our Aryan societies.
Yeah.
And if, as I said before on this program, I'm quite prepared to give them Israel at the 1967 borders, but I want them all. I want them there.
Yeah, get them the hell out of our countries. And one thing I like to bring up, too, about the internet is that we think of it as a great, you know, save all and the great media outlet for white nationalist viewpoints or national socialist viewpoints. But the problem is...
The great equalizer,
it is. But the problem is it is not, right? Because one thing is that the television and the radio is in your face. It is there on in your face. You cannot avoid it. It's you flip the channel and there it is. The internet is not. When someone wants to know certain things about race or National Socialism or whatever, then they'll go on the internet and they'll look for it. But they don't get on the computer and all of a sudden, here's a choice. You can see this or not. It isn't like that. They have to go searching for it and they have to find it. Now, another point is that in all educational facilities, educational institutions, such as schools, universities, libraries, in all government organizations, such as the FBI, and in corporate America, all these websites, which are so-called hate websites, are barred by filters.
Apparently, in the United States, if your libraries are blocking all Aryan websites, apparently it's against the law. They're supposed to have a single computer in the library that they can block our websites from other computers, but they've got to have one computer that's not got the ADL filter on.
That's uncensored, right?
That's uncensored for an adult to go and to view.
Yeah.
And to view our Aryan sites.
Yeah, and what they probably do is they don't care about that. They probably view porn sites.
Well, we'd like to encourage all people who've listened to our show to go to your local library and to check this out. That you'll find there won't be any computer you can pull up our website, AryanMatters.com. Try that one. Try and pull that one up.
Well, it will temporarily until they figure that out.
Figure
for
out
the filter.
But they've got to, and the law states in the United States, in the public libraries, that they've got to have one standalone computer purely for adults that doesn't have the ADL. I like to call it the ADL filter.
It is an ADL filter. They're the ones that started it years ago.
They've got to have that. They have got to have that. And my next story is about Ernst Zundel, one of the greatest living legends of our time.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's on trial now in Germany because three nations, Germany, the United States of America, and Canada, colluded. These three great democratic nations colluded to bring this great man to Germany to stand trial, the Great Holocaust Trial number 3. It just blows me away how what happened. He was perfectly happy and situated in Tennessee with his art gallery, doing his artwork, doing his revisionist. I think at that point in Tennessee, his artwork was taken precedence.
Yeah, I think he was doing mainly paintings.
Yeah, over his revisionist work.
Yeah.
But the Immigration and Naturalization Service said that he missed an immigration hearing. Next thing we know, they come to his house, FBI and the ATF, the whole deal, take him away, ship him to Canada. He spends 2 years in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
After that, then he's shipped to Germany, where right now he is standing trial, and we call this the Great Holocaust Trial number 3, with Ernst Zundel, great hero of the cause. He was deported from Canada 8 months ago, as I said before, after being in prison for solitary confinement with the light on for 2 years.
The light on.
The guy was over 60.
Yeah.
60 years of age.
Yeah, he was born in 39, so.
It's amazing. And we've heard nothing from that wonderful organization, Amnesty International. They have said nothing at all. Not one thing, not a peep about this man. And apropos to that, the great Gemma Rudolph has also bit the dust.
Yeah.
He went to his immigration hearing also. They used the same excuse about him, that he missed his immigration hearing. He got arrested, and now he's in a Chicago prison waiting to be deported.
Yeah.
Apparently, when this show goes onto our website at AryanMatters.com, he too will be sitting in a German cell.
Yeah.
Also, a Belgian individual, a German who lived in Belgium, Mr. Verbecki, also he will be joining the people in Germany. If they are in Mannheim, they will be known amongst our ranks at the Mannheim 3. It's amazing. Power again of the Jews.
Yeah.
No ifs, ands, or buts. And in this report I have, which will be posted on AryanMatters.com on our main homepage, the International Auschwitz Committee said survivors of the death camp see the trial as an important success in the international cooperation against Holocaust deniers who use the internet to spread anti-Semitism. The German authorities accused Zundel of decades of anti-Semitic activities, including repeated denials of the Holocaust and a crime in Germany, in documents and on the internet. The other thing to this as well, that we had the Immigration and Naturalization Service in the United States and the, basically the American government First Amendment, this great First Amendment that you yourself, Lee, chortle at every chance you can. The First Amendment of the Constitution, the right to free speech.
Yep.
One of his counts against Ernst Zundel is, as it says in this report, in documents and on the internet. Now, hang on a minute. The First Amendment in the United States that says that you have freedom of speech vis-a-vis the internet, if you have a computer, it's freedom of speech. Yes, he's been accused by the German government of freedom of speech crimes by the German government. The United States government acquiesced to that by shipping him to Canada, and then Canada did the same thing and shipped him to Germany. Three great democratic nations, everybody, democratic nations conspired to bring this 60-year-old odd man to Germany.
And of course,
absolutely appalling.
I know. And all these, everybody who was involved in that should be the ones in jail, right? These people are the real criminals, because they're accusing people of being thought criminals, and that is completely insane, completely un-Western now, and it's
un-Aryan.
It's un-Aryan.
But these people aren't Aryans.
No, they're probably not.
Dig away, people, and you'll look and you'll see Jews.
It's Jews. Probably Chertoff was behind getting him out, deported to Canada. Now, one thing I got to bring up about that Canada thing, which really, really is so obviously idiotic and crazy that I'm surprised more people aren't mentioning it. So Ernst was in Canada for many, many years, and that's where he began his revisionist propaganda. Now, it's funny to note that many of the people who are revisionists now and say the Holocaust didn't happen or another things about the Germans or in World War II are untrue, believed it at first. They come from the point of believing the Holocaust, right? So, like another person you mentioned, Germar Rudolph, right? He's a German chemist. And guess what he was? He was a believer first, and he thought, hell, I'll go down there to this Auschwitz and do some chemical testing here, and I'll prove those guys don't know what the hell they're talking about. And then he becomes a believer, and he becomes a revisionist, right? I mean, a believer in what the revisionists are saying, and saying that this whole big lie about the Holocaust is untrue. Anyway, getting back to my point about Ernst Zundel. So he lived in Canada for many years. There's this great video documentary called The Great Holocaust Trial. It's about the first Zundel Holocaust trial in Canada. That was pieced together by somebody, and Michael Hoffman sells the documentary video on his site. It is all it is a collection of Canadian Broadcasting Corporation clips. So it's completely by what we would call the enemy press or mass media. And when you watch that, there is no doubt in your mind that the Jews who were on the stand lost their Holocaust argument, and that there were never any Jews guessed. Okay, that's number one. Another thing that comes up about Ernst Zundel, okay, he lived all these years in Canada. Eventually, he married Ingrid Rimlin, who's an American citizen, and then he moved to Tennessee. So now, here he is living for several years. I don't know how many years he was living in Tennessee, right? Like I said, doing the paintings and whatnot. And our government comes up with a flimsy excuse, right? Basically, I think under the direction of Chertoff, the Jew. And he gets shipped back to Canada. So he's in Canada for 2 years. Okay, first, now, again, he's living in the United States. He's out of Canada. He's out of the country. Not in Canada. And here, after 2 years of solitary confinement, which is torture, with the lights on and everything, then they say he's a national security risk to Canada. Okay, well, look.
Now, they said that before he got deported to Canada. They said, didn't they, that he was a security risk. I mean, my question would be, if they said that, and I'm not sure whether they said it before, if he was a security risk, why would they
bring him back into Canada? That's my whole point, right? First off, he was never in Canada. And then the flimsy excuse Canada is going to use now is that we've got him here. He's a security risk. Send him back to Germany. What the fuck is that? That is obviously they made that up. And they use any legal means necessary to leave any legal loopholes to get him back to Germany because they did not like his ideas.
If he was a, if he was such a security risk to Canada, why didn't they leave him in the Tennessee Hills where he was perfectly happy?
No. Exactly.
No, because the Jews don't want that. The Jews want to make an example.
He will be used as an example of what you do not, what line you do not cross. What you, line you do not cross is anything that protects Jewish interests. And this Holocaust lie, just like Professor Forson said, is one of the foundations that lets Americans want to support Israel and give them all the support. Of course, anything that will hurt Jewish power, you can't go against. That's what they're trying to demonstrate here. That's what they're trying to show to everybody. Because guess what? The mass media circus will be all over the world about how Zindel gets convicted here, you know, for denying the Holocaust. You know, it's like, okay, well, shit, I better not deny the Holocaust because guess what? They'll put me in jail too.
This is done in an oblique way too, and this is just to send out an oblique, underlined message to the rest of us who have awaked to the Jewish menace in our world. It's an oblique reference to us that if you attack or criticize or go against the Holy Holocaust hoax, then you too will end up in either a jail in Germany or even worse still, a glass box in Israel.
Right, right. And of course, what Hitler said and what Rockwell tried to remind everybody is that this big lie, it's a big lie, right? And Hitler said that the bigger a lie is, the more people will believe it, is what the Jews figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible, horrible thing. And that is that they say that, look, if I tell somebody, well, you know, this simple little thing, this little lie, they won't believe it because they have a bigger grasp of the big picture. But if you tell them a big lie, the majority of people will believe it because they would never think that you would be so outrageous or so arrogant or have so much, like what the Jews like to call chutzpah, to actually say something that's such a blatant lie that it can't be true. I mean, it's got to be true. It can't be false.
And the Jews are such liars that they use that situation and blame Hitler for the big lie technique. And it wasn't,
right.
If you read, we recommend that you read Mein Kampf, and Hitler says in Mein Kampf it's the Jew who pushed forwards the big lie.
Right, and he was warning everybody to look out for that because they will do this, and that's exactly what the Holocaust is. Now this leads me into my second story, which is that most of us don't even know about how insidious this is and how it's becoming. I mean, if we're parents, we don't know that our children are being taught this. Okay, there's a story about New York City students to study the Holocaust through cartoons. So, of course, here it says, on the anniversary of the Nazis' Kristallnacht pogrom, hundreds of New York City high school students will learn about the Holocaust through cartoons.
Strangest, it's New York, by the way.
It's New York, yeah, which I like to call Jew York City instead of New York City. And I'm sorry, any of you got people out there.
Is that true that there's more Jews in New York than there are in Israel?
It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me because the first headquarters of communism in the entire world was where? It was London, in the east heart of London. And then Marx, I think it was Marx, who personally moved it from London to where? To New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the headquarters of communism. And then eventually, of course, the headquarters went to Moscow. So it wouldn't surprise me. Jews have always been a problem in New York. There's a quote in here which says that the famed comic book artist and editor Joe Kubert, who authored the exhibit's introduction, adds, "Cartoon illustrations can, with just a few strokes of the pen, convey an image or an idea that will remain in the reader's mind for years to come."
Mm-hmm.
So, think about this, folks. Then it goes on to say this exhibit was created by the Wyman Institute, of course, David S. Wyman Institute for Holocaust Studies. All these Jews, including this cartoonist who's a Jew, and again, your kids, very impressionable, they have no reason to doubt what the adults are telling them. Why? Kids don't go through their childhood or adolescent years assuming or being skeptical about anything. They think, well, if these are my adults here, I trust them, and these adults aren't going to lie to me. Why would they lie to me? They're not going to lie to me. So here you have this insidious, terrible thing here with these cartoons depicting the Holocaust. Of course, what's even worse is they'll depict the evil Germans, and especially the National Socialists with their swastikas and everything, as being the most evil things incarnate, and shoveling poor Jews into these terrible crematory ovens, probably alive, you know, screaming alive, or whatever the hell these cartoons depict. And the kids will believe that and say, these are the worst guys ever. They're worse than the devil, even. You know, they're just as bad or worse than Satan.
The reason why the Jews have done this is because National Socialist Germany exposed the Jew for what he was. Basically, he was a parasite on the economic system of that country. The National Socialists democratically came to power, put forward the view that the Jew was the parasite that what he was, and the German people decided to expel him.
Right.
Once you shine a light on these people, it doesn't take long for the people to rise up. You can go on Google and look at all the expulsions of all the Jews all over the world from time immemorial.
Right.
In Great Britain, 1290, King Edward I, Great King Edward I, expelled the Jew. The Jew went.
Right.
Unfortunately, unfortunately,
the Jews came back.
The Jew came back,
yeah,
with Oliver Cromwell.
But the optimistic thing we can say here is that once the Jews are expelled this time,
they
ain't coming back, because communication around the globe has got to the point where everybody in the world will know, whatever in the white nationalist country starts it, and say, why did they kick out the Jews? Why are they doing this? Before, it was not like that, right? Before, you weren't really sure. There was no internet. How would Americans know, except for people like, you know, Lindbergh and other people who actually visited Germany, how'd they know what's actually going on in Germany? Well, why would they think there's a tyranny in all this? If the media is telling them it's a tyranny, they can look on the internet and see, well, no, I'm talking to these Germans here, you know, and they're telling me it's not. Everything's fine. But guess what? Now there's no place to hide. I think Edgar Steele had it best. He said the only place for Jews to go now, they can't flee the country like they were kicked out of Spain and everywhere else and go to another country. They're going to have to find another planet. That's what they're going to have to do. It's over. Once it happens this time, this is the final battle for us, all races, against the Jew. And that's one thing I forgot to bring up in the Forsan article. When he's talking to these Arabs, and he's saying, your problem is our problem. Because if we're telling you over here, all these whites and Aryans, you know, like especially in America, are brainwashed by the Jews, and here you already know the Jews are a problem, we're saying we've all got the same problem. The Iranians, it doesn't matter, right? We've all got problems with Jews.
And with National Socialism, which we do espouse on this radio show quite fervently, is the fact that not only was the Jew exposed by National Socialist Germany and the National Socialist German Workers' Party, which democratically came to power.
Yes.
The National Socialist government got rid of the Jewish economic system, took the German state off the gold standard, the usurious gold standard. Basically, that is why Jews hate National Socialism, because National Socialism works.
It works.
It works in the interests of the Aryan people.
And they are unnecessary.
In a National Socialist society, you don't need the usurious Jew.
No. And it's a good point you raised up about the democratically elected, right? Because it's like, for example, people think, Americans especially think that, okay, the dictator. That's got this dictator,
yeah,
has this evil connotation to it and negative meaning to it, right? Austria joined the Third Reich under Hitler because they voted. The number was something like over 80% of the people in Austria voted to become members of the Third Reich.
Mm-hmm.
That happened over and over again because everybody could see the prosperity and happiness of the Germans.
But on all these programs, on the History Channel especially, any of these programs that you see on Jew-run television about the National Socialists, the National Socialist Party, and the National Socialist Government, the Third Reich, whatever it is, they never tell you that this party, the National Socialist Party, came to power democratically. Right. The German people right. put their X's on the National Socialists' ballot and put them in power.
Right.
The Jew will never tell you that.
Nope.
And why won't the Jew tell you that? Well, because the Jew is out there pushing democracy, saying what a wonderful thing democracy is. United States and Great Britain marched into Iraq on the pretext of democracy to get rid of this evil Saddam for democracy. That's why the Jews will never say on television that the National Socialist Party and the National Socialists came to power democratically.
That's right.
But if you look at the great democratic societies that we all live in, you look at them all, they're basically a mess. Every one of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're all a mess.
They suck.
If you talk to people who were around in National Socialist Germany when they came to power in 1933, up to 1939, 1940 when the war started, it was an ordered Aryan society where everyone got along. It was a society where the worker, for the first time in Europe, got 2 weeks paid vacation.
Yep.
And not only that, they could spend some of that vacation on some of the ships that were built by the National Socialist Government for the worker.
Right.
The worker was put forward because the German party was a workers' party.
Right. And a lot of people don't know this. It's a good point you brought up, that the 2 weeks paid vacation. Paid vacation was Hitler's idea. Like Leon Degrelle said, the capitalists didn't come up with it. The communists didn't come up with it. And here both of these philosophies or ideologies are supposed to be so great for the average people or the average worker. But Hitler came up with the idea of the paid vacation.
Capitalism is a parasitic ideology. Socialism is a parasitic ideology. Communism is a parasitic ideology. But when you have a nationalism and you have a true socialism, which was brought together as National Socialism, that ideology worked. It got the parasites out the country, the Jew. It worked. That's why, irrespective of this so-called final solution, which never happened, being no proof put forward by the Jews, no Führer order, nothing. It's a hoax. It's a lie. National Socialism worked. The main reason, not only getting rid of the Jew within the country, exporting them to the East, but also the main reason that the Jew hates National Socialism, one, it worked, and two, it purged the Jew from the economy. They purged the Jew. That's one of my words this evening, purge.
Yeah, you know, it's good that you bring up the final solution. Okay, what was the final solution? Part of the topic tonight was these great revisionists, right? Ernst Zundel and Robert Faurisson and Germar Rudolf, all these great revisionist guys. Well, what was the final solution? It was a territorial solution. That's what it was. It was like, look, let's move them off to the east for now. And later on, we'll come up with the final solution. Maybe it is in the East, but we don't know. But we've got to have a final solution. And at that time, I think the numbers were such that moving the Jews around or out of the Reich, right, out of the German territory, they were saying, well, that's the final solution for now. Because, you know, there's so few of them left here in the Reich because they've all immigrated, been deported. It's a territorial solution. Professor Faurisson brings up a great point in this video that I mentioned earlier about the Great Holocaust Trial, where he says, look, the Germans talked about a final solution to all kind of stuff. If they talk about a final solution to unemployment, what does that mean? They're going to kill the unemployed, right? Is that their final solution? That'll solve unemployment, right? Well, let's kill the unemployed. That's what it, if you listen to the American propaganda, which is really not American, it's Jewish propaganda, because the Jews who wrote that media and said, this is the spin we're putting on it, is the final solution. That's what it means. They would say that.
Or the final solution to bad roads, which meant the Autobahn. Germany, National Socialist
exactly.
Germany, was the first country to build the freeways, the motorways.
Exactly.
The Autobahns were the first.
They were the first.
The first to do that. They were the first to bring television, apparently.
Right, television.
But that mightn't be a good thing, though. where we are today, that mightn't have been a good thing. Well, probably not their fault, the fact that our television has been usurped by the Jews.
That's the problem, right? Yeah. The problem isn't the technology. The problem is that the Jews have usurped it and used it to their advantage. They're clever. Yeah, they have IQs. Yeah, they're devious. That's the problem. The problem is they're so freaking evil, right? And they do these terrible things that just ruin our societies and cultures just for their own purposes.
And we saw that, you know, they don't appoint people of our race. They don't appoint Aryans for the most part in these great corporations. Take Disney, for instance. Michael Eisner didn't appoint John Smith as his designate successor. No, Mr. Smith was not mentioned. Mr. Arian Smith wasn't mentioned. Along came Mr. Iger, Mr. Eisner's buddy, who is a Jew.
Right.
And he got the job. The Jews, apart from being parasites, a parasitical worm on the economy and on the nation and on the people, they promote their own people.
Absolutely.
They're very, there's a good Scottish phrase, they're very clannish, the Jews.
Yeah.
Very clannish. They put their people, the Jewish people, above everybody else. All the rest of us could take a flying leap as far as the Jew is concerned. And that's what's happening right now. We're taking the flying leap, and these Jews are just are lording it over us.
Oh, yeah.
They are lording it over us. 2% of the population in the United States, and in Britain probably less, 1%. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
France the same. They're lording it over us, people. And we've got to bring back us Aryan people to our Aryan lands, to our culture, to our governments. We've got to have our own governments. And we say on this program, we need national socialism.
Yeah, it's like Rockwell said, too. The Jews probably get together for an hour every evening and just laugh at us. Laugh at how stupid we are to let them get away with all this crap. You know, because that's what it takes. It takes our people to give in to what the Jews want. I mean, if we did not give in, if we didn't have these weak-kneed politicians, I was just reading recently something about, you know, how Nixon and Reverend Billy Graham here were talking about the Jews' power of the press and everything, and that was the problem. It was bringing the country, down the drain was the term that was used. We let them do that. Those leaders or those people that are supposed to be our Aryan leaders, they let us down.
You hear Jews chortling all the time about the reason why these national socialists are against us Jewish people is because that they are weak-minded and they are not as successful as us Jews. Well, the Jews are a network of people. They are a race masquerading behind a religion.
Yeah.
And they will, you know, promote their own within a great company.
Yep.
Like Disney, for example, which owns also ABC, third largest network in the United States, I think. They push their people against our people. And it's about time that our people, the Aryan white people in all white lands, came together and pushed back.
Yeah.
I think that's a quote from Rockwell. It's time white people push back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to lose our countries. We're going to lose our race. We've got to push back. National socialism, as far as myself and Lee are concerned, is the great pusher.
Absolutely.
It's uncompromising. Its ideology is true. It's proven it worked. Our government from 1933 to 1945, irrespective if there was no war, the government worked.
Yep.
The Jew was pushed from the economy, and the economy worked.
Right.
National socialism worked.
And the
worked.
People were happy. The
people
workers
were happy. The workers were happy.
There was no class conflict or strife.
And people didn't have to go to the ballot box every 4 years to put that stupid ballot paper in the thing.
No.
Just one election. All we want, people, is one election, and then it'll be all over.
Yeah. All we need to win is one election.
One election.
And our problems will be solved as long as we have a strong national socialist leader who understands the principles of national socialism. People say, well, you can't have a dictator. You know, that's just not the American way or whatever. This is total nonsense, because this is saying that you know, you can't have a father of a family, and that's what Hitler was. He was the father of his people, and a father of a family wants only the best for his family and takes care of them and does the right thing.
Only the Jewish press called him a dictator. The German people called him the Führer.
Yeah.
Führer being the leader.
The leader.
Leader, it could be father.
But they don't call Stalin a dictator. You know that?
Oh, no.
A lot of these things, no. They say, well, he's a leader and political figure. And they don't call him a dictator, which, of course, is what he was.
Yeah, Stalin, who probably, at a low estimate, murdered 40 million people.
Yeah.
Also, Chairman Mao was the great revolutionary in Jewish press. Great revolutionary.
Yeah, agrarian
reformer
is what they call them.
But in the Jewish press, agrarian reformer. Yeah, this agrarian reformer murdered 60 million people.
Yeah.
Low estimate, by the way.
Yeah.
Low estimate. We want our countries back. We want Aryan people to rise up against the parasite Jew. It's time that we come together as a race in all our Aryan nations. And that's what this program is all about. So, how do we achieve the great goal? The great goal is to bring white people back to power. You will hear on all these television shows and whatever, the usual stuff's being placated, saying that, well, white, especially blacks will say this, well, you white people have got power. What's the problem? You know, we're the minorities. You white guys have got the power. These people, to use a term, the capitalist pigs, for the most part, they don't represent the Aryan people, the folk. They're just lepers, as far as I'm concerned. Shysters, Shabbos goy.
Yeah.
That's all they are.
Yeah, if you get this conservative so-called ideology and you really believe it, right, what you start doing is you start behaving as an individual, which is, you're going to try to grab as much as you can, right? It's every man for himself, right? It's a dog-eat-dog world. And if that's the case, then, which is not true, it's not supposed to be like that, right? That does not make for the best society of human beings. It does not make for it. It should be a socialist, like James said, the best society is one that has true socialism, where you are worried about your fellow man and the fellow families around you in your neighborhood and everybody else in the whole nation. That's the true way. But if it's not like that, if it's, look, every individual for himself, not only are you causing all this strife and conflict between you and your fellow man, you're causing that between you and your family members, right?
Nope. People will turn around and say, well, you're taking away my right to vote. When you guys come to power, you're saying that the first election you win will be the last, or if you don't come to power democratically, a great conflagration comes about and you come power that way, democracy ends. Well, if you look at the voting at the moment, people who vote, it's going down. People could care less about voting. People would sooner go to the mall and shop.
Right.
Then they care about
or watch the ball games.
Yeah, you know, they're not really bothered. As long as their lives are happy, and National Socialism has showed well-run, wonderful, happy society in Germany. It was a happy society. National Socialism worked, people, and in our white nations, that's what we got to come about.
Yeah.
National Socialism works.
And I said, you know, I had this argument before one time with some guy at work, or not the argument, but actually just the discussion one time with some guy at work, where I said, hey, look, if we were to say that the best person for this job, who this job was, like, for example, like the somebody in charge of education and saying what students should learn and all this, shouldn't we pick the best person for that job, like somebody who's been a teacher for so many years, and all of his peers say, hey, this guy's an expert in teaching, he does a great job and he should be the guy, shouldn't we pick that guy? And the guy's like, oh yeah, we should. And then when I said that's the National Socialist method, it's like, oh no, we can't do that. Then, you know, we can't do that. It's like, well, why not? Is that the best way? Then why not do it? Versus the democratic or American way, or what's coming to now is to be this cronyism and an oligarchy, which we have now, which is the president gets to choose somebody who's like the leader of the Department of Education or whatever, and picks his buddy or some friend or some Negro, you know, out of some city somewhere, and says that's the best guy. And the only reason I like him is, well, because he supported me in my campaign, and, you know, and I'm trying to show how I'm such a pro-black person, you know, and I'll get the black vote and all this stuff. That's what happens now. It's totally about favoritism, nepotism, cronyism. How can I get elected? How can I get more votes, right? This has nothing to do with what is the best way to run a society. You know, what's best for the people, what's best for the culture, what's best for the race. Has nothing to do with it.
That's a good term, that cronyism. That's what we have in all our countries. Cronies running our states. Cronyism gone wild. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Absolute cronyism gone wild with these people who call themselves politicians.
Chronic cronyism.
Chronic cronyism, and these politicians, you can see them all. The television doesn't hide much. When these politicians stand up in front of the television, you can see such weakness in them. That's going back to my first thing about the government in France. When you saw that table, and that was the main table of the government, what I saw there was abject weakness, cronyism, and every ism that you could think of just sitting there, and they did not know what to do. White people could have been, luckily that hasn't happened as far as the Jew reports tell us. Apparently one white woman got set on fire. These savages poured petrol all over her and set fire to her.
Yeah.
That's the report I've heard from the Jewish press so far. Probably more of it, I don't really know, but I would tell everyone to watch their television when they see a politician and just look at them. Abject weakness. They are just the pits. That's a good an American word there. I got from Lee. The pits.
Yeah.
They are the pits. They
yeah.
really are.
And they're our leaders.
And they are great leaders,
yeah.
ladies and gentlemen. They are our great leaders. We don't believe in our great leaders anymore.
Nope.
We've made the determination that National Socialism works, and it's time for change, and we're here to try to help that change.
Yep.
My name is James Hawthorne. Well, thank you for joining the show today. We'll be back soon.
And I'm Lee Gardner, and thanks a lot, and we hope to see you all next time.